find together.
Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
That was get rich. That was that was Welcome to Our House. And this is
Art. Star.
Star.
Scene.
Scene.
Radio.
Radio.
On.
Radio.
Free.
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
Yes, indeed. My reading glasses broke 1 minute before the show.
Really?
Yeah. Like, one of the lenses fell out. So if I have to read anything, I have to, like, close one eye. Isn't that interesting?
When I'm drunk, I have to do that to read.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
gotta do the one-eyed
drunk,
the one-eyed drunk thing.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Art Star Scene Radio. I am Face Boy.
I am Face Girl, and with us in the studio
is Tom Tenney.
Are you in? I can feel it. Are you in?
Am I in what? What are you talking about?
The lowbrow sex.
What's that?
Making lowbrow
things. It's a mess.
It's a mess.
It's a mess. Barely started. It's already a mess.
It's a real shit show.
Oh, that mic sucks.
Now I know.
Let's talk about the technical things going on in the studio.
Yeah, none of our mics
always
actually
interesting.
Suck. That's actually great.
Everything here is
nothing but the best at Radio Free Brooklyn. Oh, God, I have to use someone else's headphones. Shit, I brought my own, too, but there's no time. I would sooner share your toothbrush, honestly, but I will do it.
Why is that?
I've been thinking of that ever since you mentioned it at a meeting.
Yeah.
And then every time I get out of here, I have man scent on my face. I'm like, oh, I forgot to wear my own headphones.
Yeah, I generally do. Do you take some kind of break here? Because then I can swap out the phones.
I could just put them in for you.
You want to put it in for me?
Yeah, I can put it
okay,
in.
Okay, all right.
I might play some music, and then you'd have some
I'll
time.
Guide it in. Just
give no, that's all right. Catherine said she could guide it in for me. I don't know. The tip is kind of hard.
Yeah, right. I prefer it that way.
All right.
Now, Tom Tenney is the CEO of GodChasesUs.net. What?
Yeah, no, that is Tommy Tenney.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I have
unfortunately share a name with this dude who is... The God Chaser. Oh, much better. Oh, so much more comfortable. Oh, that's good. I like it when it's in.
It's in now. I can feel it.
Yeah.
That is much different. Wow. I didn't realize.
That's great.
Such a big.
I have to come up with whole new questions.
Why?
Yeah, it was all good.
Like, tell me about your congregation.
Oh, yeah.
How did you get it start?
Sorry.
I've known Tom for 20 years. He is the co-founder of Radio Free Brooklyn.
21 years.
21 years.
Who's counting? Yeah. When's the anniversary?
Every day I'm like, I've known him for how long? Oh my God, 21 years. Now.
21 years.
There's like a dartboard with like a
1996. Oh, no. Actually, no, yeah, 21 years. That's when I moved back to New York, 1997.
Where'd you move back to and from?
Chicago.
Weird.
Yeah.
And we met at Surf Reality.
We did. Yes. I remember I came up the stairs. It was probably my second or third night in New York. I came up the stairs and you were at the top of it, you know, taking money, I think, must have been for Face Boy's open mic.
I rarely did the door.
Oh.
Maybe that time I did.
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe it was just
I don't know. But
money.
I remember that because, Surf was a place that, oh no, it was actually before I moved back to New York. I was visiting. And Surf was a place I was told to never go to by somebody in Chicago who I just did not trust or like at all. So I was like, okay, well, that's on my list of first places to go.
Of course.
He was like, it's in a bad neighborhood and you have to get buzzed inside and, Yeah, everybody's naked and smoking pot. And I was like, really?
Oh, that sounds so terrible.
I know. Yeah. I was like, I'm going there first.
First stop there.
Yeah.
Where else shouldn't
And
I
then
go?
Facebook is at the top of the stairs. And I just remember he was like, oh, hello. I don't remember seeing you around here before. And I was like, wow, no one's ever said to me that to me when I came in to see a show.
He was flirting.
I thought that was very probably. I thought that was very nice.
I hadn't slept with you yet, is what he was saying.
Yeah, exactly. Rare. Right, exactly. Once you learn face boy talk, that's exactly what that means.
I knew that about him before I knew him.
Yeah. That I'm a hoe.
Yeah. Because Porno Jim, we've had him on the show, but at, what was it?
Radical Vaudeville.
Radical Vaudeville of Surf Reality. There was a, who's the biggest hoe in the room, face boy, you're excluded from the contest.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this guy must be a hoe.
Super hoe.
I also realized in that moment that you were not Rob, because I thought you were Rob the whole time. Because you're always Rob stage Pritchard? Managing, yeah.
Because I was all large and
Rob
in charge.
Rob is the other co-founder of Radio Free Brooklyn, just for people who don't know. Am I louder than everybody else? Because I sound louder in my headphones than everybody else. Okay.
You do sound louder in mine. No, it's, wait, now
I think it's because I have better headphones.
Oh, wow.
That neck. Would make no slight that makes neck. No sense at all because I'm hearing everybody through my headphones.
Sound pro.
They're the magic headphones that make me sound good.
We almost lost Robert Pritchard from Radio Free Brooklyn due to a half a roast beef sandwich.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Beef
yeah, we did.
Roast beef.
Yeah, he threatened to quit.
It was a guest of ours.
Uh-huh.
And Tom had like just cleaned the studio and, you know, did a whole rant about
I did this whole long post about like how you just cannot eat in this studio because there have been like a rat was found in the toilet and blah, blah, blah.
In the toilet?
Like, yeah.
That's a weird place for
rat. Well, you know, they do that because they try to get water out of it and then they fall in.
Poor things.
I know.
I feel bad for that rat.
Well, I don't. It saves you. I mean, yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, whatever. It's that.
Did you flush it or get it out?
I didn't do anything. Somebody else fished it out with a hook or something or like an end of a broomstick.
Oh, my.
Gross. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Poor thing.
So our guest left a half a roast beef sandwich.
Your guest.
Yeah.
Your guest.
Your guest.
All right. That's right. I invite her. And you went off on a post.
Yeah.
And Rob thought that you had overreacted. And so I have some questions.
Okay.
What was on this roast beef sandwich? Do you remember?
I do not.
Was it a wrap?
No. It was like on a roll.
A roll.
Yep.
Did you eat it?
No. It was on the floor in the basement.
Give me the money. It was
wrapped in those like give me the you know, money. Whatever they wrap those, you know, that paper they wrap sandwiches in. It was sort of wrapped up in that. But like it was just on the floor. You know what I mean? It wasn't even like, oh, somebody dropped it and they didn't. I mean, apparently she didn't notice, but it was like right there on the fucking floor. Like, I don't know how you drop that much food and don't notice it.
I don't know either.
But whatever.
Maybe it was a saboteur. I wouldn't be fully surprised.
Yeah, I mean, I would be pissed if that happened here in the new studio, you know, but it was even worse back then because we had vermin.
Yeah.
Do you have any questions about the sandwich?
I just have a comment. I was actually at a sex party fielding the situation. And my friend's like, can you stop this? I'm like, it's really, really important. He's like, what's it about? Nothing you do is important.
It's about a roast beef sandwich.
I'm like, it's about half a sandwich. I don't know.
Half a roast beef sandwich.
I know that sounds unimportant.
This wasn't even about a whole roast beef sandwich.
It was just a half. And that sex party ended with me leaving, like in a fight. We fought. That's the last time I spoke to him too.
Was it over a sandwich?
Was it over the texting? It was over. Yeah, it was over the texting.
Oh, see,
yeah.
I mean, ripple effect. See, you don't realize
butterfly.
That. Yeah, butterfly flaps its wings in China.
Yeah,
or however that goes.
So that relationship was not salvaged, but the radio station was, and that's the important thing. Like, I think Sam can now leap.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Rob almost quit. I mean, in fact, he did, but...
Yeah, and my advice was a Faceboy thing that we discussed. You can be sorry that it offended somebody without being sorry you did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very good PR.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry that made you feel that way.
I wonder who else was... apology accepted.
Yeah. Oh, no, he just took my fake apology and... okay, wait. Okay.
And you know what else? So somebody, and this is funny because like nobody ever. I mean, and that's credit to you guys for owning that. I mean, that honestly is like.
I know we talked about it. We were like, we don't have to fess up to this.
No, that is not what happened.
No, but honestly, it like raises your status in our eyes when you do, even from where it was. You know what I mean? Like that's the whole, you know, like just fucking own it.
Yeah.
You know, like somebody broke this statue over here and like tried to like hide it. You know, and that statue is actually from, it belonged to Genesis P. Orridge. It was on stage at many psychic TV shows. And, you know, it has a lot of meaning for me. And the fact that somebody, you know what I mean? Like, if you break it, just fucking say, I'm sorry I broke it, you know, or I'll try to fix it or whatever. But they're sort of like trying to like hide it, you know, in the corner. It's not broken.
Yeah, no, I hate that.
So wait, I didn't even for a minute discuss like maybe we don't have to.
Oh, no. It was a whole different thing. I the moment I saw the post, because I was up on Facebook, like anytime something happened on Facebook in the group message, the group we were in, I was like on it. So I'm like, oh, shit, this is us or it's Jamie. So I texted everybody like, did you have a sandwich? And then when I finally got the answer, I was actually mad that he booked this person because we have a history and I think she steals my jokes. So I didn't want her in the same room as me because she will steal anything I say and then use it on
stage. Do I know this person?
Well, we'll tell you later.
Okay. Yeah. No, I'm not asking you to tell me on the air.
Probably not, but
okay,
maybe.
Okay.
If you do, we don't know you know this person.
Right, okay. All right. Probably not then.
Yeah. But yeah. So then I was like, Faceboy, it was us. And he's like, can we not tell him? And I'm like, no, we're telling him. And you're going to do it because you booked her. Otherwise, I would have told you myself.
Right.
But I was mad at him for booking her. And that's why I messaged.
So there was a moment when I was like,
I guess when you say we debated, it was you debating and me going, no. And then I was like, Faceboy, there's cameras, which was a lie. Like, it's true that there were cameras, but I wasn't like, I was like, you're owning up to it. You're going to go there with your tail between your legs. It's you. You have to take this because you booked her. Fuck you, Faceboy. And then I was like, and fuck you. You almost brought down the whole station. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then I actually messaged you because I felt bad that I hadn't owned up to it myself. And I was like, I got to also do it. Now that you did the uncomfortable thing, because I just wanted you to be uncomfortable for putting me in a room with her. Otherwise, I would have been like, it was us. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's okay. That was a long time ago.
But it's still something we laugh about.
It is. Yeah.
Because it was a half a sandwich.
It was a whole half a sandwich.
Yeah. Like, here I am at a sex party. What is it about? It's so important. It's a sandwich, not even a whole one.
Yeah.
This is impossible.
Oh, my God.
Are you trying to read with broken glasses?
Yes.
So it just popped. Awful. Your lens popped.
Yeah.
So maybe if you get drunk, then you can read with your glasses.
So you only have one eye in there, one lens.
Yeah.
Drink your whiskey. Then you'll be able, it'll
just
work.
Just like tape the lens like onto the frame.
Yeah, I'll try that later. Okay, so I wrote this joke. It's funny, but it's really not getting the love that it deserves.
Uh-huh.
And it's visual, so it's not going to be that funny to you know, the listeners, because I'm going to have to explain it. So we found out recently that Uranus smells like farts. Right?
Okay.
So now we have to stop blaming Pluto.
See, I got it without the
okay.
Because everybody blames Pluto it on the dog.
Yeah.
Right. It's a funny joke.
Do you want to hear a similar but
it's getting
different?
No love.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
And then you know that Colin Jost is going to say it on Weekend Update tonight. On Saturday Night Live, he's going to tell that joke.
And
his name is Colin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't pisses me off.
He's not going to tell it.
It's Colin.
I have a fun fart dog joke. Do you want to hear it?
Of course. Always.
All right. So this guy's meeting the family, the girlfriend's family, and he's sitting in at the dinner table and he's like, oh no, I really got to fart. So then he just like lets a little one rip instead of excusing himself to go to the bathroom. And the mom goes, Mitzi.
I know this one.
Yeah. Of course you do. It's a fart joke.
Yeah.
Do you want to just say the punchline?
Mitzi, get out of here before he shits on you.
Yeah. He keeps doing it. And then eventually, because he thinks he's getting away with
it.
Oh,
I get it. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And then she says, will you leave before the good man
did you know
shits
that Alexa knows fart jokes?
Alexa knows anything?
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, I'd been for months being like, Alexa, tell me a joke. Alexa, tell me a joke. And then one day I was like, I wonder if I was like, Alexa, tell me a fart joke. And she knows them.
Wow.
she's got them.
Let's see if Siri's got it. Hey, Siri, tell me a joke. Oh, you bitch. Hey, Siri, tell me a joke.
I asked my new friend to meet me at the gym, but they never showed up. I guess the two of us aren't going to work out.
Boom.
Oh.
Hey, Siri, tell me a fart joke.
Here comes a groaner. At first, I didn't like the idea of having a beard. Then it grew on me.
I don't think she knows. She doesn't.
No. Alexa is light years ahead of Siri.
Clearly.
Yeah. Oh, ouch.
Sorry, guys.
I thought you were already plugged in.
Yeah, I was, but I didn't know that the sound was up, so I just...
So, have you fucked anyone from Radio Free Brooklyn?
Have I? Well, I would not tell you that on the air.
You don't have to say who.
Well,
The answer is yes.
The answer is no, actually.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, if it was yes, why wouldn't you tell us on the air?
Or if it was no, why wouldn't you
tell us? Well, because... I don't know. But I wouldn't. Because then everybody would be trying to guess who it is. And, you know.
It's a loophole.
And then they might guess right. And then it would just, you know, I don't know. But I wouldn't. But I didn't. I haven't. I mean, that's an honest answer. And I probably wouldn't either. Unless it would, I don't know. I don't know what the unless is. You never know what the unless is.
Unless
until
it
happens.
Was a drunk blowjob bathroom situation. Yeah.
But no.
Do you think it would be inappropriate for you?
Yes.
Because the power dynamic.
Yes.
To have sex, but to make the first move.
Yes.
Because if the other person made the first move, I don't see a problem.
I do.
You have been working on this for 21 years.
I do. I see a problem. If it's a host. And actually, if it's anybody, you know, like maybe, I don't know. I can't think of it. Maybe a guest. You know what I mean? But like not anyone involved in the organization. I'm the executive director. I can't do that. You know what I mean? Because it's like, there's nobody. I mean, it just sounds really fucking grandiose, but like I have more power than everybody. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a power dynamic there anyway. So no, I'm not, I would not do that.
What if they were like, fuck you, I don't respect your authority. Now let's have sex. Honestly, that sounds like the perfect person for you.
I might do it, but then I would have to ask them to leave.
Then we found the unless.
They would have to quit.
We found your unless.
Yeah, exactly. Unless it was their last day.
Yeah. On air.
Right.
We'll have to invite them here because this is the show to do that.
Yeah, it's so I've heard.
Yeah. Well, we've got privacy curtains now.
I know.
Face girl, will you pull up the article that was not a YouTube thing? Because I can't see anything.
Sure.
My glasses to find my exact note on that.
Just give me a minute to remind the internet I wish to use it. That's not a Facebook?
Not YouTube.
Oh, the closet?
No.
There's nothing here besides that that's not YouTube.
What?
Yeah. It's closet, Richard Hell.
Really?
You may have, yeah.
I think I sent you the wrong thing.
Yeah, and then there's just a picture of a woman having sex. Is that it?
Can you do a Google search on Dylan McWilliams?
All right. This is fun, guys, for you at home. We're using.
Tell us about frequency theory.
Frequency theory is my show that I do every Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. And, you know, it's... When you start a radio show, like I used to do a radio show at Bebox Radio, and it was a talk and music show. It was like all about remix. So I would talk to remix artists and, you know, in the visual, you know, visual music, art, whatever. And then we would have music that had, you know, samples that we would talk about or whatever. But when you do a strictly music show, I sort of started it not knowing what it was going to be. And I was like, well, I love music enough that I have enough music that, you know, will last me for this radio show. But one thing you quickly realize is that your music does not last you for a whole radio show.
Okay.
Music that you like, unless you're somebody like Bob Javors, who does the Black and Blues show on Tuesday, who's like a walking encyclopedia of the blues. And
I fucking love blues.
His show is amazing.
I especially like old blues names like Mississippi, Fat Back, My Shoes Too Tight Johnson.
Is that real?
No.
Okay.
But so slowly I used to have guests on it and whatever to kind of fill the time, and slowly the show changed into, you know, sort of like, well, what music do I like? What music do I like? Like discovering new music of, and what
pop.
I just, and well, not pop.
No, I'm kidding.
And what I discovered is that I like similar to sort of my remix show. I like music that exists at the intersection of different genres. You know what I mean? Like, you know, a reggae hip hop song or like that kind of thing. And so that tends to be what my, the music that I play. And there's a lot of like, because jazz has such a huge influence on like all music. So there's a lot of jazz and jazz influenced stuff. And jazz itself was a blend of, you know, sort of everything that came before it. And so I do play a lot of jazz, new jazz, hip hop, a lot of experimental shit. And then I do
language.
And then I do.
In
the middle of every show, I do a segment called Discover This Cover, which is I play anywhere between like 5 and 7 covers that I recently discovered that I thought were cool. Right. So, and that's another way that sort of music intersects with each other, as people doing or, you know, I don't like straight covers, like covers that sound just like the original. Mm-hmm. I like covers that are total reinterpretations of a song.
Like postmodern jukebox?
Yes, yeah, I do. I've played a lot of postmodern jukebox, on my show.
Beautiful stuff.
So now actually I enjoy it more than I did when I first started. Because when I first started, I was like, I'm just playing my music. And my music was like, I just knew it all. And then as I went on, I was sort of like, I have to kind of discover new music each week.
Yeah.
To fit my, you know, quote unquote format. And that to me is the most rewarding part of doing the show, is sort of discovering new music and going like, oh, wow, this is really fucking cool, you know, and playing that on my show. Weaving it all together into something that is a whole. It's not just song, 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 song. I take a lot of time to sort of, you know, build mixes that are, you know, sometimes the cuts are seamless. And sometimes they're more, you know, heavy handed, but, it's something that I really enjoy doing, is taking these sort of disparate parts and putting them together and making a something that can exist on its own.
I wonder how many shows that started like from season one on Radio Free Brooklyn have changed a great deal from,
have evolved. Yeah. Yeah.
This show's a lot different than it was in the beginning.
I think a lot. Yeah. I mean, you have an idea when you're doing radio that it's going to be this one thing. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I have this great idea. And then, like anything, that radio is social, it's community-based, and like anything like that, it changes depending at, well, you change, first of all, but then you have guests on your show, you have different kinds of guests, and they can also shape, you know, what your show sounds like.
Did you find the article?
Yeah. Okay. I think that's what happened to you. Like, you were doing a format and then you had a guest on and you were like, oh, I'm changing the format after the guest. So like that thing that you're talking about, that symbiotic kind of relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. Like after I had Adam Smyre on, and he's a friend of mine from junior high school, and he just came out with a book.
Yeah.
And I wanted to present him in the best possible light. And that's not, you know, doing all the ass jokes and shit.
Right. Sure. Oh, I remember that guy. I was here after your show that night. That guy, and this was like right before my cat died, and he was like, he showed me a picture of his, he was a really nice guy.
He's fantastic.
And he was like, showed me a picture of his cat on his phone that recently passed away. I don't know how recently, but he seemed really nice. And I was listening to your show kind of through the walls. When you're sitting in the other room, you don't need to tune in because you can hear everything over there. And it was a really good interview. But it was different than most of the stuff I've heard on your show.
Yeah, there's like maybe 2 other episodes that I know of that were kind of different. And that was the Mario De La Casa and
Robert Downey.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
That guy.
Yeah.
Downey called. He called in, right?
Yeah.
We
did a phone interview.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he wasn't going to Brooklyn.
Yeah, no.
He's freaking 80 years old.
My favorite. And he's Robert Downey.
He doesn't have to go anywhere. Fucking anywhere.
Yeah.
You can hang out on Downey Street.
Yep.
Yeah. My favorite was, you'll edit that out, right? Ooh, it's live. And then he's like, what are you doing with your life? What is this show? Thank you. What are the odds of getting bit by both a bear and a shark?
What?
Yeah. When a bear bites a human skull, it makes the news. There's an old saying out there that lightning doesn't strike twice, meaning that if an exceedingly unlucky or lucky thing happens to you once, don't worry about it happening again, because it probably won't. But that metaphorical lightning did strike twice for 20-year-old Dylan McWilliams, who was bitten by a shark while surfing in the waters of Kauai, Hawaii, just a few days ago. That's bad enough on its own, but last year he was the victim of a bear attack while working in a summer camp in Colorado. each of these events happened extremely rarely, and so it seems like both of these things happening to Dylan in the span of less than 12 months is astronomically unlikely. But is that true? Let's take a look into the science and math of probability to find out.
This is totally wrong.
Maybe Fox will be what you want.
Yeah. Well, anyway, this guy, he got a snake. Yeah, yeah, that was the topper for it.
Yeah.
That he also got bit by a rattlesnake. So that whole thing.
Hey, they left a beer in the fridge and I'm taking it.
Take it!
A Colorado man achieved a distinction last week that few people would probably want to match. When Dylan McWilliams was bitten by a shark Thursday in Hawaii, it meant that he had been bitten by a shark, a bear, and a rattlesnake in less than 4 years. I don't know, McWilliams told the Honolulu Star Advertiser on Friday. I'm either really lucky or really unlucky. I know this guy smokes a lot. Not surprisingly, the 20-year-old from Grand Junction says he spends a lot of time outdoors. In Thursday's attack, about 50 yards from Shipwreck's Peak, McWilliams suffered deep cuts. Oh, like your music, deep cuts.
Deep cuts.
Yeah, to one of his legs, but the injury wasn't life-threatening. The scariest part was swimming back, he told the news outlet, adding that he was hoping the shark wouldn't continue following the trail of blood from his legs. You want me to keep going?
Nah.
All right, we get it.
The article, the one that I sent, that I thought I sent you.
Was hilarious.
Was fucking funny, the way they put it together. But this obviously was not.
I thought
we had a caller.
So my bad. I'm the fucking.
I have to take the call.
Yeah. No,
do I?
On speaker.
Okay.
It's a rule that we just made.
It's a rule.
RFB, this is Tom. Hello?
Are you on speaker?
Yeah, it's on speaker. RFB, this is Tom.
Here, do you want this?
Wait a minute. Hello? RFB, hello? No, I don't need that. It's on speaker.
Well, we'll never know.
It must be a
butt. Everything is working so well.
Nobody butt calls RFB though. Who butt calls that number?
No, somebody did butt call my show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So my theory is it's the same person. So shout out to Jeff Howe. How you doing?
Is it Jeff Howe?
I don't know. I think it is.
Yeah, maybe.
That's my theory.
You know he's listening.
Yeah, he. Sure, sure is. I hope.
He posted on my timeline today.
Oh yeah, what did he say?
It was just like a car. It was a comic.
Yeah, nice.
About kids who are emulating Trump.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh, interesting.
With like Barbie dolls going like, I'm going to grab you by the pussy.
Kids were like really
doing this? It was like, well, no. It was a cartoon. So it was like, this is the fallout from, you know, the election.
Putting him in the White House. Yeah. I think Jeff Howe might tag me on a daily.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think we have that relationship.
Well, he and I have not moved on to the daily yet.
Yeah. Yeah. I did post recently, do you want to hear my stupid drunk thoughts about you? And he did post.
Oh, I saw that post today. And then I was kind of like, no, I don't.
Fair. You could have written that. No, I don't.
Yeah.
That two people said that they do not want to know.
Yeah.
And I only got through like some of the list before I was no longer on there.
Yeah. It actually was more like a nope. Yeah. Move on to the
next. Yep. I imagine that's how you deal with all of my things that come up in your newsfeed. Nope.
No. I comment on some of them.
I don't think that's true.
I know I have, but anyway.
You might comment out loud, but I don't think it ever makes it to the...
That's probably it. I'm like, what the fuck is this shit?
Yeah. I'm commenting. You just don't hear it.
Yeah.
If anyone is still listening...
You can call us at 718-928-9732. Use your butt.
After this shit show of everything that's been falling apart, starting with my glasses right before the show.
I'm sorry. It's my fault. It has to be mine.
No, it's me. I've been having a day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had a fight with an MTA employee and called to complain. I never follow through on
that. Wow. Wow. Yeah. You followed through. Let's hear it.
I called Lyft to complain about a driver the other day, and I never do that either.
What was the...
But I didn't even meet him. I was late for my class that I teach in New Jersey, and I called this Lyft, and it was like, it's coming in 18 minutes. And I was like, I'm going to be late.
Yeah.
And he's like 3 minutes away. He calls me and he's like, I'll be right there. And he's like, where are you going? I said, New Jersey City University. And like, then he hung up, and like 2 seconds later, it was like the driver canceled.
Wow.
And I was like, they're not allowed to even ask you, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, that is so, I mean, I used to drive Lyft and Uber and all this. And I was like, that's so against the rules. I was like, this guy has made, just made me late for class and I'm going to fuck with him.
And you emailed, right?
No. I called Lyft. You can find their contact number if you dig far enough. They don't make it easy.
No,
they make it really, really hard.
I know, because I've never found the number.
No, it's in there, but you have to dig around.
Yeah, I'm gonna try and do that, but I've only had to email them. They get back to me really quickly, so that's good.
So this class that Tom teaches, he asked not too long ago, by show of hands, how many people were on Facebook?
Yeah,
and surprisingly few.
Mm-hmm.
And so he asked, "Well, why?" And they said, "Facebook is for old people."
Yep. Yeah, this guy, kid's like, Facebook's like, and you could tell he was like uncomfortable because he didn't want me to call me old, you know, but he was like, it's for like, you know, like old people.
Yeah.
Damn.
No, so
and I was like, I don't know, but I felt like I should have known that and I didn't. So, because, you know, I mean, I teach media and I used to be like the director of social media at VH1. I should know when Facebook has gotten to,
VH1,
you know.
Is for old people.
Yeah. Well,
VH1 is for old people.
Exactly.
So like when I read this article about the cry closet at the University of Utah, which it does exist. There's a cry closet in the library of the University of Utah. And the first thing I thought of was, we're over coddling. But then that is what my generation thinks of this generation. That's the first thing they think of. So I asked my girlfriend, because she's
12.
Shut up. Shut up.
Whatever.
Because she is a millennial.
Right.
And she made a very good point. She said, most of the suicides, at least at NYU, have occurred at the library.
Well,
yeah, they had to put the glass.
But you've been in the NYU library, right? Like
Escher.
It is. And it's like they have like balconies surrounding it for like 12 floors. And it's like when you look off of those balconies, all you want to do is dive into that fucking. It's like, I remember because I used to work at the library. This was my first job in New York. It was a work study thing when I was at NYU. And I worked at that library and I was like, oh my God.
I'm not suicidal.
It's like one of those things. No, it's like, you know, it's like sometimes when trains come, you have like this urge to leap in front of it. Like not like a real urge. You don't?
No.
I do.
I've jokingly done it just to mess with
people. But my thing is, when I'm up on my roof or on some balconies, I'm really afraid of jumping.
Actually, I heard it's because we wish to be weightless, and we know that like doing that would make us weightless. It's not that we want to die.
No, it's because I'm depressed.
Yeah, probably.
there's just something that is attractive about doing something you're 100% not supposed to do, but would be so easy to do.
My life.
You know? Right, exactly. And like, things. I mean, I worry about falling. I don't worry about jumping.
Yeah, I'm terrified of being at heights.
I hate heights. I'm the worst. I will, like, if I'm on a rooftop party, I'll always be like at least 3 feet away from the edge. Even if there's like a wall.
I was on the roof with the roof of my building with my girlfriend, and there was a chair towards the edge of the roof. She gets up on the chair.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Yeah. I was like, please come down right now. Please. I'm begging you. Please come down. Right. Please.
Yeah.
And she did because... She loves me.
Aww.
And I use the right number of pleases.
Yeah.
I took this Italian friend of mine who was staying with me to see Bruce Springsteen at MetLife Center. And we were literally in like nosebleed seats. Like, even there, I was just like, oh, you know, because it's like it's a really steep rake on those things.
Yeah.
You know, and you feel like you could just fall like right out into the field.
Have you been to the east, the new subway stations on the east side, the Q?
I've been only to 96th Street.
Okay. Have you, like, you know that escalator or whatever? Like, there's a moment where I'm like, freaking out because it's just...
On 96th?
Yeah.
On the 96th stop? Yeah.
Like, it messes with my head.
Yeah. I always walk on the escalators, though. I never just stand on them, so I'm always sort of more, you know, occupied. Yeah. I never understood just standing on an escalator.
I don't know. I think walking would... fuck with my head.
Oh, really? Yeah. I'm always like, what do you got? Like, this is not a ride at Disneyland, you know? And it's just stairs that move, you know what I mean? So it's like, use the stairs and it just gets you there a little faster. Yeah.
So once again this week, Catherine, well, more than once, inappropriate use of the Say Something song.
Oh, really? You're calling me out?
Yeah, if you could cue that up.
Yeah. I've got it at the ready since I've got it in my messages from you and to you over and over again.
So is it okay if we talk about your...
Yeah, I don't care. He's not listening.
Okay, you're getting evicted.
Oh, that. I didn't know that's what we were talking about. Okay.
And so you sent him the Say Something song.
My landlord?
Your landlord.
I didn't really. I just told you that.
Oh, damn it. That was so funny.
I know.
So you haven't heard the Say Something song?
I don't think so. What
the shit just happened?
Say Something song is like you're really
say
in love.
Say something. I'm giving up on you.
I hate you.
What is going on with your phone?
It's not. It's just this place. This place does this. I'm going to go a different way because...
Folks, if you like what you're hearing and you want to support the show, if you want to support the station,
oh yeah,
go to radiofreebrooklyn.com/pledge.org.
We're saying .org.
No wonder really? We haven't gotten
any. You haven't read the boards lately.
I all the time. And if you want to support this show, go to rfb.nyc/s. That's rfb. .nyc/s.
Yeah, we don't use rfb.nyc yet.
Damn it. What? That's why we're not getting any. That's why we have no, nobody.
You guys really got to keep up.
Yeah, wow.
I go to the Facebook thing every day.
Yeah, it works, but we don't, because for branding reasons, we don't use, the only time we use rfb.nyc is in Twitter.
Because
it's short. Okay, you can't read the on-air read, so that's fine. Because if you have broken glasses, you have a good excuse.
Getting back to being out of touch, back to
say
the...
Say something, wow. I'm giving up on you.
Oh my God.
And I am feeling so sad.
I don't know.
I hate this.
It was over my head.
Wait till you see that Christina's
involved. I'm so glad
this is,
you're hearing this for the first time with us.
Watch the video too, Christina.
Oh God, no.
Yeah, she found them, loved it.
We'll stumble and fall.
Someone said this to me after they broke up with me.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
Just starting to crawl.
All right, it's about to get deep.
Say something, I'm giving up on you.
Can you turn down my headphones, please?
Nope.
I'm sorry that I couldn't get to you.
But you broke up with me.
Yeah.
Anywhere I would have followed you.
But you didn't, because I was still wanting to be with you, and then... You broke up with me.
Say something, I'm giving up on you. And I...
You were crying. Tom is crying.
I'm not crying. I was looking at something on the ceiling.
You're the
tearing
one
up a little bit.
Yeah.
No.
Because this song, you know, it does that to people.
I cried on the way over here.
Did you really?
Yeah. Because,
say something, I'm giving up on you. And I'm sorry that I couldn't get to you. Then anywhere I would have followed you.
Oh, here it is.
Something I'm giving up on you. Say something.
We're assholes.
Tom's hands are crossed.
His body language is hilarious.
Don't ever do that to me again.
He's so angry. On air read.
All sides?
Just read whichever one you want for right now.
Okay. Only got, yeah. 3 times per hour. You're listening to...
No.
Oh, not verbatim. Okay. Let's see.
You got to say we're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn, though, 3 times an hour. I think we've done it twice now. I just said it.
You're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. You're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. Boom. I'm always doing the bare minimum. General communication is that you can listen to on the go.
That's not the verbatim.
Damn it. All right. Did you know that Radio Free Brooklyn has a free iPhone and an Android app? You no longer need to be chained to your computer to listen. Just download the Radio Free Brooklyn app from the App Store or Google Play so you can listen to independent community radio wherever you go. You can find the iPhone app by going to radiofreebrooklyn.org/iPhone. And the Android app is available at radiofreebrooklyn.org/Android. So download the app today and listen to RFB wherever you are.
See, this is how I encourage people to not read verbatim, is I give them really cheesy verbatim copy.
Really?
And I just encourage you to do it in your own words. Hey, we have an iPhone app and an Android app.
Get it.
Go get it.
Go.
So I think I know why you were crying on the way over here.
Probably not specifically, but probably generally.
I asked Tom to be on the show. Because we are also starting to tackle some serious stuff. And recently, Tom lost his cat. Of how many years?
He was only 10.
Baz, right?
Only 10.
He was only 10, yeah. Which is part of the sort of the tragedy of it. You know what I mean? It's that, and sort of the associated guilt, that sort of, could I have done more? You know what I mean? Should I have taken him to the vet sooner? So... when you lose a cat that's older, I mean, I feel like you don't have that, because I've lost cats that are older and you don't have that, you know, associated guilt with it. And when he's younger, you do, because you think it's your fault somehow. And, you know, he died of kidney failure, and even the vet was like, look, he could have just, you know, he could have had dodgy kidneys right from the beginning, mm-hmm. you know? But he had started getting skinnier, like... I remember around Christmas, you know, sort of around that time. And I was like, and he was kind of chunky. So I was like, oh, good. He's getting skinnier, you know? Yeah. And, but then he just like, as we got into the new year, he was getting like skinnier and skinnier. And so finally, like in March, I was like, dude, I gotta take you in. And I did. And his like kidney levels were off the chart. And I was just, you know. You know, again, it's the guilt. And then I tried for a few weeks, you know, doing treatment. And what, you know, what was weird about it is that he wasn't acting sick until I took him to the vet. Mm. And then he started like acting like immediately. And my friend Jen told me that when her dog died, she did exactly the same thing. Like she didn't act sick until she took her to the vet. And then it's almost like the animals are like, oh, okay.
Jig is up.
Yeah. You got me. I'm sick.
Yeah, they don't want to show it.
Yeah. And then he did. And it was probably also like partly the treatment. You know what I mean? Like when a cancer patient gets chemotherapy, they get really super sick. And so I had to give him antibiotics in case it was like an underlying infection. And I think that really just made him worse. And he just wasn't, you know, he stopped eating. And it was like the saddest thing. I mean, he'd be so thirsty. He would sit at his bowl, but you could tell he felt nauseous and he couldn't drink, because he would just sort of like hang his head over the bowl. Like, I want this water and I can't because I just feel too sick. And he started eating kitty litter, because they do that because they become anemic and they become iron deficient, but they can't tolerate their food. So they eat it because it has iron in it.
Oh no.
And it just got really, really, really sad. And that treatment wasn't working. And I was giving them these supplements. I was giving him antibiotics. I was putting him on a low protein diet, which the vet recommended, which I'm actually not sure was the best thing to do. But I know a lot of vets do that. And after a few weeks, I was just like, I called the vet and I was like, he's not responding to anything and he's not eating any, you know. And they were like, well, you know, I believe in quality of life. And
yeah,
so
it's not easy.
It's not. I mean, the last cat I had that went, it was very sudden, and it was So sort of like ripping the Band-Aid off. This one I had like a week that I knew he was going to get put down, but a few weeks before that where I was pretty sure. So I'm glad I had that, you know?
That knowledge.
I got to take him outside again. You know what I mean? He loved going outside, just out on the balcony, and I got to do that, and I got to sort of like talk to him and have him sit with me, and you know. So it was, and so the reason I actually was crying on the way over here was just as I was on my way out of the apartment, I checked my mail and I got the card, the obligatory card from the vet.
Yes.
I
have a collection.
You get them, and it's like, I mean, and you know, it's like, it's, I mean, all the vets sign it and whatnot, and they, I'm so sorry for your loss. He was a great cat. And, you know, most of them are people I haven't met. And you know that they just do this like every Friday. They just have a half an hour of card signing that goes out. So it's basically like a rubber stamp, but it still gets me. You know what I mean? It's still like, because it reminds you of, you know, and so yeah, and I keep the cards too. Mm-hmm. And I keep the notices that you get, which I haven't gotten yet, from the cremation place.
And I got sent the paw prints in clay.
You got the clay paw prints. I don't do that. I don't get the ashes or the paw prints, but I understand it.
I didn't ask for them.
Oh, really? They just sent them to you?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. But you know, I mean, did your cat go to Pet Meadow?
No.
Oh, okay.
In my family, cats go one of two places, or any animal that passes. My mother has a house up in Cold Spring.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And we will, there are lots of pets that we have lost that are that are buried there, or their ashes.
Yeah.
But more often than not, if it's ashes, it goes on a special place that's still in our home.
Right. Okay. See, I don't do the remains, but I do the like group cremation, cremation, or whatever you call it, mass cremation. But like, there's this place, Pet Meadow, where like probably 90% of the animals in New York City get sent, and it's just like, it's so funny because it sounds like this lovely, you know, like, no. Oh, it's a meadow out somewhere. That's and you know, it's just like a factory with a smokestack.
Oh, God.
You know, it's like an animal killing, you know, place. But whatever. I mean, that's the thing is like, that's why I don't even care about the remains, because it's not him. You know, he's not in the remains. That's just a shell.
You weren't in the room for it?
Oh, I was.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, but I'm not in the room when they cremate it. They take it away. And that was another thing that was really hard, was this is the first time I ever had it done at home. And I spent way more money than I even have. You know what I mean? Like, but I was like, I don't want him to have to go in the vet to the vet and lay on a table and him be scared and freaked out. So I got a vet to come to my house, and so I got to kind of like lay with him on the bed, and like, it was weird because like he never really came on my bed unless I was in it, and he had been sitting in the windowsill all morning, and when the vet came, he came right down onto the bed and he laid down.
Oh, wow.
You know, so he's kind of like, he knew why she was coming.
Oh, that's so sad.
And so I laid with him and I talked to him, and after she gave him the sedative, I waited till he was, you know, asleep, which is freaky because they don't close their eyes when they go to sleep like that, when they get the sedative. So it's just like, you know, they're asleep when their eyes stop tracking you.
Oh, wow.
And then I was like, I don't want to be in the room when you stop his heart, you know? Sorry. I left the room for that. And then I came back in, and the vet wanted me to see him, and she wanted me to hold him, which is sounds weird, but I know why they do it. You know what I mean? Like, you want to, it becomes real, you know? And like when my dad died, my stepmother, my family, they just cremate people. You know what I mean? We don't, you know, we have memorial services. We don't have wakes or anything like that. And his wife, my stepmother, comes from a very, like, she wasn't Catholic, but her whole heritage was this Irish Catholic tradition to have a wake. And so we went to this wake, and it was the first time I had ever seen, like a body laid out like that. And, you know, nonetheless, my father. And it was really freaky, but I understand now why they have those. because it, it becomes real.
And closure.
Yeah. I mean, it's not even closure because there's never closure on these kinds of things. You never like get over these things. You just learn to live with them. But it was something that just sort of, it makes it very, very concrete and very real world for you. Otherwise you like, and this happened with my last cat. I was sort of like, well, maybe she's not dead. You know what I mean? Maybe the euthanasia didn't take and they have her there somewhere, or maybe she's going to come back, you know? And it's mm-hmm. like, it's totally irrational, but it's the kind of thing that goes through your head. Mm-hmm. And when you've, you know, held him and he's gone, and you can tell he's gone, he's heavier, you know what I mean? Or something. I don't know. It's the absence of life is very palpable. And that's what she wanted, you know? And she was also very, I'm sorry if I'm taking too much time.
Not at all.
She was also very kind of comfortingly matter of fact, like less emotional and kind of anthropomorphizing than we tend to be, you know? And she was talking about how much they live in the moment and that they don't fear death. And she's like, that's one of the wonderful things about being a cat is you live in this eternal now. You know, and even when he's drifting off to sleep, he's not afraid. And that is kind of beautiful, you know, that and comforting to know that he didn't have the fear. And she was just like, yeah, you know, I mean, I was like, did he know he was dying? And she's like, no, he just knew he had what felt like a really bad hangover for a long time, mm-hmm. you know, and she's like, and you helped him, you know, so. And then she made me bring the other cat. He has a sister. They were litter mates. And she's like, bring the other cat in and, you know, let her see him and smell him. And so she went on the bed and she really just like took like a couple sniffs of him and then just jumped off the bed. And I told her, I was like, oh, she didn't care. You know, she's like, no, that's just what they do. That's what they do. And again, it's like they're very much in the moment. And the other cat's like, oh, he's gone now.
You said that she started acting.
But then afterwards, right. Well, I mean, because the whole dynamic in the apartment changes. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There were three and now there are two. So therefore, by just, you know, naturally, my relationship with her changes. And that's weird for me. It's weird for her. You know, it's like now it's just the two of us and she doesn't have to split her attention. But at the same time, the other cat that was there when I went away, when I left the house in the morning, isn't there anymore. She's just all by herself, even if they didn't like each other very much, which they sort of didn't, but they were there. You know what I mean? They were a presence for each other. And that is really freaking her out. It still freaks her out a little bit. She's much more needy. She's much more sort of craving of my attention and needs to kind of always be touching me, like having, like sleeping with her head on my arm or my leg, or even when she's sleeping on the, you know, edge of the couch, she reaches her paw down and just like has it on my shoulder, like, you know, like you're not going anywhere, right? Because you're the last one left.
If it's you, yeah. There's no one.
Yeah, they're right, exactly.
I know I was probably a bitch, but now I realize.
yeah. So anyway, so that's why I was crying on the way over.
Of course. Thank you so much for sharing and for being so open about this. Because sure. It's like, you know, I've been through it so many times. And like the last time I went through it, I swore I would never have.
You always do that.
I said, there's no way I'm getting it after I've had cats, dogs, turtles, you name it. I've had them.
This is me in relationships.
Yeah. And after Scout and Moon Pie, I was like, that's it. I'm not going through this again. Unless one follows me home, which doesn't happen anymore in Greenwich Village. And what the fuck happens?
Exactly.
Allie shows up outside my window.
And then I get a duplicate Allie named Tony.
Yes, you do.
Wow. Yeah, you know, and my living cat does not really like other animals very much. So, but at the same time, she's like super lonely during the day. I know this. So, I mean, I'm certainly not going to do it probably for another year, but I mean, I may try to find somebody who can at least be somewhat of a companion for her. And I think too, as she gets older, she'll chill out a bit.
Yeah. Have you considered those boxes that you can watch your pet can like follow a laser and you can give them treats?
No, I haven't.
Because that might, if she doesn't like other animals, maybe that would be the way to kind of.
I could get her an AI cat.
Yeah. Then yeah. She'll be like, this I'm okay with.
We're dedicating the show to
Sebastian.
And Piglet.
And Piglet, yes.
Piglet was a cat that my brother adopted and died this week at the age of 21.
Wow.
21 years old.
That's a good long life.
That's. And it's a completely different situation.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you lose a cat that you're used to coming home to every day, they're there all the time. It's just such a different situation. And, you know, I helped give fluids when she got ill, but I wasn't there all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But still love Piglet very much.
Yeah. I had to give Sebastian fluids too. And it's like, he didn't like it, you know.
Of course not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Eternal Now. I think that's the name of the episode.
Yeah. Eternal Now. Yeah. I'm going to write that down. Okay. Now this seems weird to say, but stuff you want to promote.
Really?
I know. We have 4 minutes left.
Well,
and that's
since
like
we didn't
one
do
the
all
things
the on-air reads, I would like to promote the Radio Free Brooklyn newsletter, which is at radiofreebrooklyn.org/newsletter. And they actually have rehashed or refabbed the newsletter recently, Angelica and Ori, and it is fantastic. And they do interviews with, you know, hosts and volunteers, and it's like, it's super interesting and fun. So radiofreebrooklyn.com/newsletter. Jesus.
I get it. You want print.
Yeah,
want print.
I know. So that's what I'm going to promote.
Best girl?
Tonight, I'll be hosting karaoke with the Kings of Karaoke in Woodside. Check out the Kings of Karaoke and find out where we are exactly. I think it's like the halfway station. I don't even know. But it's in Woodside. Check it out. Kings of Karaoke. Also,
Woodside,
every,
Queens?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, from 9 to 11. And then every other Sunday, come check me out at Satanic Bingo. It is canceled for tomorrow, but it'll be back in 3 weeks.
And you can find shit about me at faceboy.com. It's that simple, faceboy.com. Please give to Planned Parenthood if you've got some money. The ACLU, they need your shit. And the Red Cross. Coming up next on Radio Free Brooklyn is Get Rich Quick with Josh and Noel. Next week, we're going to explore what it's like to be ignored from the cradle until age 7. I'm kidding. I'm sorry.
Also, check out freedariusnow.com. Darius McCollum, freedariusnow.com.
Here's all the stuff we didn't get to. This is like becoming one of my favorite parts of the show.
The part where you say all the things we didn't do.
Yeah, all the subjects we didn't get to.
It's a metaphor for life.
What work did you do with Seika?
Oh, yeah.
We didn't get to that.
Okay, well, next time.
Neck beards.
Oh.
I don't have one. Okay, yeah.
Cosby.
Oh, my God.
Hannibal Buress, who started at my open mic. Uh-huh. Can't really get to that.
Wow.
Richard Hell and the Voidoids.
Good topic.
ABBA. You know them?
Richard Hell? Sure.
Yeah.
Of course.
He's dreamy.
I mean, I was a punk rock.
ABBA first
new
songs
in
35 years.
Fuck.
Oh, old family friend of mine, Jan Xavier, played bass for Richard Hell
before. Yeah. Love Comes in Spurs. Didn't your brother do a cover of a Voidoid song?
Yes, Betrayal Takes Two.
Yeah, that's right.
A typo turns Angus beef into anus beef.
Nice. Amazed you didn't lead with that.
Tom Tenney went to clown school.
I did.
I wrote a poem called I in response to a teacher that said I use the word I too much in poetry and writing.
That's you. That's very you.
Tune in each and every Saturday at 7 p.m. for Art Star Scene Radio. Thank you all so much for listening. There was another recall.
Yeah?
Yes, there was. I forgot to say this. Okay, this is a common thing.
Is it fatal?
It is fatal. You will die if you do not know about this. You will absolutely die. So the thing you want to get rid of...